Good evening, everybody. What an honor and a joy it is to look at all these faces. Friends, this is the gospel meeting. The gospel means good news, and we have good news. Good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's begin the meeting by singing number 2. On their hymn sheets, come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Ye with care and toil oppressed, with your guilt howe'er appalling, come and I will give you rest. Number 2. Come, 'tis Jesus. In God's word, let's ask for his help. Loving God and Father, thank you so much for sending your beloved Son into this world to go to Calvary's cross and there take upon himself the punishment and the wrath of a sin-hating God against sin. My sin, the sins of each one here in this room. Our God and Father, thank you for loving us. We ask for help this afternoon, this evening. I pray, Lord, that thy Spirit would be free to work on each heart, that the invitation of the gospel would penetrate, and that souls would be blessed. Father, we need your help. I pray that anything that is not right would fall to the ground, that the Lord Jesus would be magnified tonight. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See a lot of young people in here. I would like to respectfully ask you, for the next half hour, listen carefully. Never mind the person that's sitting next to you. I know that it's exciting to go play hockey and skate, and you kids, I know it's exciting to rush away to the swimming pool. Please listen to what God is saying to you. I have on my heart a number of questions to take up. I'm not sure how this will go. I'm going to let the Spirit of God take this where he wants it to go. My burden, as I look across your faces, my joy really first, is I believe that most all of you know and love the Lord Jesus already. But I'm afraid there may be some in this room that, as we have written in Romans, they have not all believed the gospel. Friend, the first question I want to ask you is one that was asked by Pilate to the Lord Jesus, about the Lord Jesus. Turn to Matthew 27. The Lord Jesus was standing before Pilate, and the accusations against him were coming out vigorously, loudly. Away with this man, we don't want him. And Pilate asked this question in Matthew 27, verse 22. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" My friend, the answer that you give to that question tonight will dictate the destiny of your never-dying soul. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Friends, you may say to me, "Bernie, what do I owe God? I don't understand. Why do I have to decide Jesus?" The answer is, we don't have enough time to answer this like I would like to. The answer is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means, friends, that because of Adam and Eve's decision in the Garden of Eden to disobey God, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, we find that in Romans chapter 5. By one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And it's that reason that every one of us is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I've often said this in the gospel, but I'll say it again. Nobody had to teach me how to be a bad kid. I already knew how to do that. And I know that's true for every one of you, that you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity because God said so. And so, I guess let's let this develop. Let's go to Genesis 3 for one of the first questions in the Bible. So I guess the first question that God asked, this is Genesis 3, verse 9. The Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where are you? Where art thou?" Friends, that question from God went out to Adam and it established two great facts. Number one, man is lost. Did God have to ask where Adam was? He already knew where Adam was. The question is asked, where are you, Adam? And it established that Adam was lost. The other great fact that thrills my soul is that God asking this question tells us that God is seeking for you. And he says, friend, where are you right now? Where are you in your soul? Does Jesus mean anything to you? Is he your Lord and Savior, or is he just some historical person that we stand here and spend time talking about? Does Lord Jesus mean anything to you, Stephen? Your message just touched my heart. And, you know, I thought you were speaking about the scarlet of Rahab there. You know, kids, I'll give you an illustration of this. God has woven throughout the Word of God his beloved Son and the blood of Christ in so many passages. We haven't nearly enough time to take this up. I'll give you an illustration because I like boats. If you're in the British Navy, every single rope that the British Navy has a red line woven throughout it. And the reason it's there is so they know who owns the rope. And if there's a red cord going through that rope, it belongs to the British Navy. It's an illustration of the Lord Jesus and the work of Calvary's cross woven throughout the entire Word of God. And that scarlet line, Stephen, it's there. Right from the beginning of Genesis, when God clothed Adam and Eve in coats of skin, and I think of Cain and Abel, you know, you see, God had respect to Abel's sacrifice, and he brings the lamb. He had to say to Cain, I can't take your offering. Why? Because he brought maybe of the fruit of the ground, maybe it was a nice fruit basket or something. But it came from the cursed ground. And so God could take that lamb of Abel's and say, yes, I accept that. He had to say to Cain, I can't take that. And all the way through the scripture, the Passover, the law of the leper, the serpent on the pole, so many hundreds of beautiful examples of Christ Jesus woven into the Word of God. Now, sin. We all have sin. There is no sin that can enter into heaven. We're separated from God by our sins. We're short. You know, if I ask the tallest person in here to turn that projector on for us, can't do it. Short. Kids, young people, you're short of God's standard. And outside of the Lord Jesus coming into this world and going to Calvary's cross and laying down his life for you, you're short of God's standard. You're in debt. I'm in debt. Somebody had to pay the debt. The message of the gospel is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And friends, God is seeking for you. Where are you tonight? What will you do with Jesus? Will you say yes to him, or will you say, I don't want you? The answer to that question will decide your eternal destiny. And it's important to decide tonight. You know, I could tell you so many instances in my time on this earth of people that have put it off. It's a dangerous thing to say, not now, not today. So dangerous. I think back to when I was in high school, I had a good friend. His name was Chris Waterman. He was on the ski team. And those of you that have been to Newfoundland and ski know that Marble Mountain is a pretty decent ski hill. And Chris was on that hill. I was on that hill that day, too. And he got to the bottom of the slalom run, and he dropped dead in his tracks. Gone. Instantly gone. boy, what a shock to myself and my friends. But you know, friends, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. And there are so many other examples of God beseeching and man refusing. Don't do that. Well, we don't have much time here. Let's turn over to Job 33 for a verse. Job chapter 33, verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? What a question. Are you striving against God tonight? Are you telling him, I don't want your plan of salvation. My way is good enough. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. One way, friend, to come into blessing and to have your sins forgiven, and that is through the Lord Jesus. And yet we find striving against God, fighting against him. You know, God speaks to people. I shared this story earlier this week with a brother, but I'll just tell you, kids, about this. This happened when my brother Reg and I were probably 10 or less, but around that age, 8 or 10, my dad had a bus and he needed some work done on it. Faye, you probably remember this man, Jim Sloan. Remember him? Jim Sloan was a wicked man. He would poke fun at the gospel tent unbelievably brutally. But he was a good fabricator and a good welder. Dad asked him if he would weld a skid plate on the back of our camper. He said, yeah, I'll do it. Bring it out. This is out in Lark Arbor, where Faye was, nearby where you were at, Faye, right? Gets down in the fall. Time to winterize things, and Dad called him up and said, Jim, I got to have the bus back. He said, come out Saturday, and it'll be ready. So we got out there, and it would not start. Just turned the key, and nothing. And they hooked up the payloader and exploded the battery. Tried this, ether, that, nothing. Finally, my dad said to him, Jim, I think the Lord wants us to pray about it. Jim said, all right, go ahead. So they prayed about it, turned the key, same thing, nothing. Wouldn't start. And Dad was ready for the mockery to begin. You know what happened? He sat there, he said, cease. I've had this bus in my yard for 3 months. I get up in the morning, look out the window. Jesus is Lord on the front of it. So I come down for breakfast, look out the kitchen window. Jesus is Lord on it. I walk out to my shop. There it is. Jesus is Lord. He goes, it's really getting to me. And he started to unfold throughout his life how God was speaking to him and dealing with him and warning him to flee from the wrath to come. He told us he had a 1957 Chevy, a fast car. Flipped it over, upside down, on the railroad tracks. Gasoline dripping off of him. Can't speak, foot in his own pocket. And they gather around because the train's coming and they're going to cut him out. And you can imagine what the result would be. The Lord preserved him. He got out of it. Other time, he was in a dump truck in the wintertime. He said, cease, I had the urge for a cigarette. Yes, I tried to reach for my cigarettes. I couldn't move a muscle. It's beginning to be carbon monoxide poisoned. Woke up a mile from the dump truck in the snowbank on his hands and knees. Don't know how he got there. He said, cease, I know that God is speaking. Not the response that my dad thought would happen. I don't know if Jim Sloan ever got saved. He didn't get saved that day. But Dad took that time to speak to him about his never-dying soul. And when they were done, he said, "Jim, try starting it now." And he just touched the key and it was instantly running. And boy, I was impressed with that, but so was he. You remember him, Faye? A wicked, wicked man. A few years later, on a Sunday afternoon, he called our house. He said, "Cease, I'm in big trouble. Come and see me." Went out there, spoke to him about his soul again, put it off. Never got saved. I don't know what happens, but man is striving against God, and the question is, why? Why are you striving against God? He loves you. He wants to forgive you. And he sent his son into this world to come to Calvary's cross and to be crucified, the most cruel death that mankind could ever come up with. But it wasn't that crucifixion that paid for your sins. He had to go to the cross and die. In those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, God poured out on his son the penalty and the punishment for your sins and my sins. And so when it was done, he cried out, "It is finished, completed." And God could look at that and say, "I am satisfied." We find that in Isaiah 53, "He shall see of the travail of his soul, and she'll be satisfied." And God could look at that and say, "That is payment for all those sins." Now, friends, the gift of God is eternal life. If you have a gift before you and you reject it, say, "I don't want it. It's not really yours," until you take it. I know we don't have much time. I'll tell you guys a story. This is how the Lord deals with people. Last year, I work in agriculture. I was going up and down M37 in West Michigan. And in the morning, I passed a guy with a backpack pulling a suitcase. And later in the day, I passed him again. He was a couple miles south of there. And the Lord said to me, "You should talk to him about his soul." I told him, "I'm afraid to do it, Lord." Went into my office for a couple hours, came back out. I watched him walk by my office. The Lord said, "Go talk to him about his soul." Got in my truck, passed him again. The Lord said, "If it was me, would you talk to him?" Said, "Yes, Lord, I would." I turned my truck around and went up there. I said, "Where are you going, man?" He said, "I'm walking from Bitely, Michigan to Allegan." That's a long ways, folks. I said to him, "Get in. I'll give you a ride as far as I can." I'm a chicken, brethren. He says, "How am I going to talk to this man about his soul? How do I reach him?" So I said to him, his name was Owen. He told me about his life, addiction, broken family. I said, "When was the last time you ate anything, Owen?" He goes, "I'm starving." I'm like, "Okay, Lord, can you use this?" So we went through McDonald's drive-thru in Sparta. And I held that out to him. I said, "Owen, this is a gift from me to you. But it's only yours if you take it." He says, "Oh, I'll take it." And he did. And that opened up an opportunity to share the gospel with him. Well, I got down as far as I was planning to take him, and it was raining. And the Lord seemed to say to me, "It's Bernie, if it was me, would you drop me off here?" I said, "No, Lord, I wouldn't." He goes, "Keep moving." And you get down through Grand Rapids, there's a lot of big highways. You can't let the man walk through all that, and in the rain, too. This whole time, we're talking about his soul. We get down south of Grand Rapids, and I thought, well, we're this far. We may as well go all the way now. So I called back and told her I'm going to be late for meeting. I'm on a special mission. But the Lord just put that on my soul to give him that bag of food and say, "This is only yours if you take it." And boy, he was glad to take it. Friend, God is offering you salvation tonight. He said, my son has paid it all, and all I'm asking you to do is take it. Are you willing to do that? I hope you are, friend. That's God's offer of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that easy. Jesus has paid it all. You know, we got down to where I was dropping him off. He said to me, thank you. He goes, you're the second Christian man that's been kind to me this week. I know God's speaking to me about my soul. And I don't know where he's at today. But friends, the Spirit of God gives you something to do. Do it. Do it right then, too. Anyway, I told that story about because I wanted to illustrate it's only yours if you take it. Now, we haven't really gotten to all the questions that I wanted to get, but we're almost out of time. I'll ask you one more. I'll speak to you young people for a minute. The Lord Jesus asked this question in a couple of places. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I know the pressure that you're under in your careers. I know the pressure that you feel to succeed and to get ahead. Friend, don't do it if it means putting the Lord Jesus aside. It's better to go into heaven's glory a pauper than it is to pass eternally ruined into hell as a rich person. And you know, God deals with people. I'll tell you one more story. Some of you know that I like racing. There's a driver named Dale Earnhardt Jr. that's well known. He was in a sports car race in California a few years ago. Very good driver. And this is during practice laps, too. They weren't even in race yet. And got on the throttle, and the back of that Corvette came around and backed it into the wall, and the fuel cell ruptured, and he was instantly engulfed in flames. And I heard him telling this story. He was talking to a friend of his named Boris Sett. Those two guys were racing together that day. And he said, I knew I had to get out. And somebody just grabbed me and pulled me out of the car. I want to know who it was and thank him. Well, nobody pulled him out of the car that we could see. Friends, I think God pulled him out of the car and was speaking to him about his soul. And I heard the man that was talking with him, giving him the gospel. Don't put it off. God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Don't put it off. It's so dangerous. Last question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's from Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it is, chapter 2, verse 3, I think it is. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The answer is, you won't escape. God's offer of salvation is open right now, but it may not be at 8 o'clock tonight. You could be in eternity. Or the Lord could come. And I believe, friends, that we are very, very close to the Lord coming back. This world is in an absolute demonic tailspin. It's unbelievable how quickly things are spiraling out of control. And God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. We're close. But whether the Lord comes or you're called into eternity, if you've neglected the way of escape, it's too late for you. We had earlier in our meetings about those that would hear the gospel of the kingdom in the tribulation. But for those that have heard the offer of salvation today in the day of grace and have said, no, God. That's what it says in Psalm. Can't remember the Psalm right off. We don't have time to dig for it. The fool has said, no, God. Is that you? Are you saying right now to God, no, I don't want you. I don't want your gift of salvation. I reject it. Don't do that. There is no second chance for you if that happens. It says there in Thessalonians that they might all be damned that believe not the gospel. If you say to the Lord Jesus, I reject you, that question again that we started with, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You have to answer that question. I think of the old hymn that says, what will you do with Jesus? That's slipping my mind now. I'm sorry, brethren. You can't not decide. To say later is to decide no. Please consider where you're at in your soul. And, you know, you may sit there and say, Bernie, I'm in my mid-20s or more, and everybody in here thinks I'm saved, and I know I'm not, but I'm ashamed. I don't care, and God doesn't care. He says, come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. I think I got that backwards. But you know what I'm saying. Come now, says the Lord. You kids, maybe you're hearing this for the first time and understanding Jesus died for me. Come. Come and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I accept what you did for me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Do that. Let's close with a hymn. Sing number, so many good ones in here. Let's sing number 21. Decide for Christ today and God's salvation see. Yield soul and body, heart and will to him who died for thee. Christ alone can save. Break the power of sin. Christ doth fully satisfy the heart that cleaves to him. 21. Decide for Christ today.
Thank you.
close in prayer. Our God and Father, thank you again for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that came into this world and fully satisfied every single demand against sinners, fully paid the debt so that we could be brought right into thy family. Oh, our God and Father, I pray for any boy or girl, young person, man or woman, that is yet in their sins, that today they would come and accept the Lord Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. Bless thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.